let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the love that you have for us. We thank you for the love that you have for this church. We thank you for your many blessings that you have bestowed upon this church. We thank you for all that you have done, and we will thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in the days to come. Father, we sometimes take your love for granted, and Father, for this we ask for your forgiveness, but be with us today. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, but truly give us a heart to receive, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here today. Amen. Well, we're still going to talk about Thanksgiving, and you know, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful holiday. But I titled the message today, "You Can't Numb a Problem. You Have to Face the Problem." Now, you know, I don't know about you guys, but here's the definition of a holiday. A holiday is a day of festivity, okay? Now, in all honesty, and I look at the stats down below, there's 36,000 people commit suicide throughout this time. This came from the CDC. There's 374,000 people that will inflict self-inflicted wounds upon them. And many people do experience throughout the holidays these exasperated feelings of loneliness, of sadness, you know, particularly people who do not have family connections, people who anticipate their family time with high hopes. And as we've all been there, that you go in and you're really thinking something's going to be really up here and it ends really low, and it's not what you had in mind. And candidly, when things don't work out the way we want them to work out, then you know, there's challenges with us in our families. I pull some quotes. You know, I think we all start life with this Cinderella mindset. You know, I think we sit down and go, oh my gosh, things are going to be okay. We're going to find the glass slipper. We're going to get into the cage and they're going to just carry us off, and life is going to be great. One of the quotes from Cinderella, and yet through it all, Cinderella remained ever gentle and kind. For with each dawn, she found new hope that someday her dreams of happiness would come true. She said, no matter how your heart is grieving, if you keep on believing, the dream that you wish will come true. Well, candidly, we all want this Cinderella mindset. We want that to be where life really is. Well, I pulled up another statement from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and this is Happy, one of the dwarfs. This was his statement. I'd like to dance and tap my feet, but they just won't keep in rhythm. And candidly, I think that's where life really is. I think we all want to tap our feet and be happy and dance, and life sometimes just doesn't go in the rhythm that we want it to go. You know, sometimes there are expectations. Is just, you know, life just doesn't end up where we really, really had this, again, fairy tale romance of what life was always going to be. And that's difficult for you and for me. I think we've all had the Cinderella mindset that life would be perfect forever after, but all too often we're more like Happy. We want to dance, but we can't get in rhythm with life. We just can't make it happen. And candidly, I wrote down here that life is about disappointments, but it's disappointments in ourselves, in others, in our circumstances, in our situations, in our dreams, in our employment, candidly, in the loss of loved ones that won't be with us this year, and the things that people have said, and candidly, the list could go on and on and on. And the holidays, whether we want to admit it or not, are very difficult, difficult times for you and me. But even though in the difficulty, God has provided a way for you and me to live this life that he wants us to live. I think you all would agree, because it's what the Bible says, but the Bible says that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is no one righteous, not even one. And it's very difficult in the midst of challenges in life and struggles in life and, you know, again, the employment all the way back to family to really process this information. And we get frustrated to go, this is just not the way life was supposed to be. But candidly, it might be exactly where we need to be because this is where God put us in our life so that we could learn or whatever the process might be. Disappointments are a part of life. I don't care that, you know, we don't live in a fairy tale life. We don't live in the Cinderella mindset. We're not looking for the glass slipper. And honestly, most of us are just looking for peace in our life. But life is full of disappointments, expectations that we all have for each other, for ourselves, for our family, for just life in general. We all have expectation, but also comes disillusionment, and that's a part of life. Depression is a part of life. So here's where I say today, either we can stay defeated in our lives, and we can stay victim in our lives, or we can learn. And, you know, we had the men's huddle last night, and it was pretty awesome because everybody went around and everybody shared about their lives. And one of the general consensus were that we're all a work in progress or process. You know, I mean, we've all fallen short. We've all sinned. We're not going to be where we need to be till we reach the other side of glory, but it just is where we are. But, you know, either we can stay defeated, we can stay as a victim, or honestly, we can learn the process to rise above our circumstances and rise above our situations and learn how to be an overcomer. This last week has been a trying week for me, and I've learned a lot of my shortcomings, my shortfallings, things that I can do to be better, and it's painful. But, you know, when you sit down and you go, God, you know, help me, show me, and God begins to give you things that in your life where you've fallen short, you know, again, he is teaching us to be the people that he's called us to be. And sometimes you just need to sit down to go, God, I am so far from where I need to be, and candidly, show me my shortcomings, and he will. And then you have the choice to learn to stay as this victim, sometimes self-imposed, sometimes because of other people, or you could learn how to rise above the circumstances. We've talked last week about soar like an eagle, regain our youth, and be the people that God truly has created us to be in our life. In the book of Ephesians, it says, therefore be careful. And, you know, I think Satan knows the game that you and I play in our life. I think Satan understands what holidays are supposed to be. I think Satan, you know, creates a lot of strife in our life, you know. The Bible is so clear because it says, be careful. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as a wise man. And making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't get drunk with wine, for this is the dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Amen? All right. So let's begin with this first part. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk. I think as much as we take God for granted, I think we take our walk for granted. I think we take people for granted. I think sometimes we take ourselves for granted. And our Lord is saying, I want you guys to be very careful now how you walk, Don't walk as a man that is not wise, but walk as a man that is wise. And when I use the term man, it's just mankind. That fits female or male. But I think it's very important for us to go, okay, we have to be careful how we walk. We know what Satan wants to do to us. We have to walk as somebody that is extremely wise in what we do. The Bible says, be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. Well, sometimes we don't do either of those, but it says making the most of your time because the days are evil. And I don't think anybody here would disagree with me that we're not living in evil times today. But it continues so that it says, so do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Always giving thanks. You know, Miss Blunt gave her devotion yesterday, and I got to be honest with you, sometimes I don't know how to give thanks in the midst of our struggles. I don't know how to do it. But the Bible says always giving thanks for all things, and we do it in the name that is so important, which is the name that is everything, which is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And then it says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Here's one of the things that's really important as we go into the holidays. Never allow your frustrations with life or with your situations to take you or remove you from the call that God has placed on your life. Now, I tell you, Satan wants to remove us. Satan wants to get you out of the way because Satan knows that if you begin to focus on self, then we lose and he wins. So again, when we go through the trials of life, when you go through the struggles of life and the situations of life, never, never, never allow your frustration, which sometimes is extremely fleshly, pull you out of the call that God has placed from your life. You know, I've shared this story before. When I worked at the golf course as a young man, you know, when you go in to be the assistant pro, you really think, wow, this is so awesome. But my job was to clean clubs and change grips, okay? So, and wash golf carts. So I'm thinking, this is not what I planned my golf pro days to be, you know? You know, back then, grips had a leather wrapping on them, and it had a cord that went around them, and they were very hard to get off. And Gene Hill was the pro that I worked for, and Gene would always say, pull as hard as you can. And when you've pulled as hard as you can, pull just a little bit more, and you will succeed. And I think sometimes in the midst of our frustration with life, we just need to walk just a little bit further, and we need to walk a little bit harder maybe, and maybe we need to even walk when we're frustrated, but I think sometimes we don't know how close we are to where we need to be, and the fight gets harder and harder as we get closer and closer to what God is asking for you and for me. Now, here's the reality of life. The days are evil, and because the days are evil, Satan wants to trick you and me into believing that we have more times and opportunities than we do. Somebody in the group, oh, it was Mike Stork last night, gave his testimony. And, you know, I'm proud as a pastor for Mike because Mike shared Christ with his boss. Well, they, I think, if I was correct, they've never had this wonderful, wonderful relationship. It's kind of been the boss to the employee relationship, but he was dying, and bottom line, on his deathbed, Mike went to him and shared Christ with him and the family, and this man prayed to receive Christ before he died, and he went to heaven. What you and I need to understand is that life is short. You ask people that have lost loved ones this year, they will tell you that life is but a vapor, as the Bible says. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. When I have the pleasure, and y'all are going to go pleasure, but when I have the privilege to represent a family, when we do funerals, one of the things that I share with them is out of the book of Ecclesiastes. It says that there's a day that you're born, there's a day that you die, and it goes down the list of things. But it also says that this is a day to love and a day to embrace. And I share with everybody, because family is most difficult, relations are most difficult, and we need to make the most of the time. Because so often I hear, if only I would of, and after that person is gone, you don't get to go back and say that. So you need to make the most of what you do in your life, because time is short. And Satan really paints this picture for us not to look at time. You know, you've heard that between the day you're born and the day that you die, there's a dash. Well, that dash is called life. And we don't know when those days are going to begin. And candidly, we don't know when those days are going to end. But that dash is what's important for us, is that we do the best we can. And Satan wants us to nix the dash and be concerned about all the other stuff. The other thing that's really important is, you know, is the days that we do live. I think he introduces evil into our lives, and candidly, through perception and anger and frustration and disagreements and all the other things, we have to be careful that we do not allow our feelings and emotion to hobble us. Now, I don't know if you understand the word hobble, but horses are hobbled, and they put like two ropes around their front legs, and they can't move. Now, this animal is thousands of pounds, but you can take a small rope and tie his two legs, and he can't go anywhere. And that's what Satan tries to do to you and me. Because of our feelings and because of our emotions, because of anger and frustration, and the list goes on, all he has to do is take a small rope and tie around our legs, and he hobbles us, and it prevents us from becoming who he wants us to be. And again, that's falling prey to the schemes of the evil one. Now, here's something else that's important for us, because we always look at one another. And I think it's by human nature that we do this. But we have to go back to, no matter where we are in our life, no matter where we go in our struggles, in our families, in our friends, in our relationships, to understand that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Now, Satan wants it, and he wants to paint that kind of picture. But the Bible says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers, which shows that there's a hierarchy of evil of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Satan is after us, guys. You got up this morning, Satan's after you. As you drive around this afternoon, Satan's after you. You know, as you try to just deal with life, Satan's after you. When you go to bed tonight, Satan's going to be after you. So it says, therefore, put on. Did you hear that? Therefore, you and I, just as much as you put on your coats today, you and I have to put it on. It's there. It's waiting for us. But you and I have to put on the full armor. You can't choose, I want to wear the sweater today. You have to put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, and it does, because it's here, because the Bible tells us so, but that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to do one thing, and that is to stand your ground. And after you've done everything that you know how to do, then you stand, because God is God, and because Satan is Satan, and because Christ is the name above all things. So that's the greatest challenge that we have. John 10:10, we talk about this. Satan has one task in life, and the Bible says he comes to do what? He comes to steal from us our dreams, everything. He comes, you know, to destroy us. He comes to kill us. But Christ has stopped going in that direction. I have come so that I could give you life and give it to you in abundance. Now, he didn't say, come, I'm going to give you a little life. He says, come, I want to give you life, and I want to give it to you in abundance. Now, here's what I wrote, and I want you to see this. You might make a futile attempt to numb the pain in your life. We've all done that. But all you're doing when you make the attempt to numb it is that you're postponing it. okay? Because life is difficult. Pain comes when we fall prey to the evil one. And pain comes when we fall prey to his schemes. And his greatest scheme is for us to go, let me numb it, therefore I don't confront it. And you and I can no longer do that. You and I honestly have to get to the place to go, I will no longer numb the pain, because pain is a reality in our life, but I will confront it. But you have to confront the challenges and frustrations and anger and emotions in a biblical way. You can't do it in a secular way, because no one wins. Now, Isaiah 54:7, and this is something that we have to stand on, no weapon. No weapon that is formed against us is going to prosper. Okay, give God a hand clap of praise. And the other thing that is really important here, and I want you to see it, it says, in every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me. Okay, we don't go out and vindicate ourselves. Okay, we have to be extremely careful in our life. We have to stand on the fact that there is no weapon that's going to prosper against us. We have to understand that there's life and death in the power of the tongue. We have to understand that we are servants of the Lord. And the Bible is very clear where the Lord says, that vindication is mine, it's not yours. Two commands that God has given us in the New Testament is love him, love others. Now, in the midst of all the challenges of life, that's a very difficult passage, because we want to do the vindication. And the Lord said, back off. You let me handle this. And if we do, it goes out the way that he wants us to do it. Through the word of God, you have to confront your problems. And it's through the word of God, not through secular counseling, candidly, that you do this. If you ever go to a counselor and they give you their opinions, pay them off and leave, okay? I'm not trying to be funny with it, but when you go to a counselor, if they don't give you biblical advice, then the biblical advice is what's going to free us, because the Bible says know the truth and the truth will set you free. So the key here is make sure that God is in the picture, okay? But when we take the biblical advice, you have to operate in an offensive way, not in a defensive way. Okay, because the battle belongs to the Lord. See, the problem with the Christian church today is that we're acting defensively. You and I have to begin to act offensively and take this word of God and go forward with it. In Luke 10:19, the Lord says, behold. He says, church, look, I want you to see this. Look up, church. Wait, I want you to... But he says, I've given you. What has he given us? He's given us authority to tread. And tread means to trample down the serpents and scorpions. He said, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing is going to injure you. Ephesians 4:27 says, do not give the devil an opportunity. You know, the devil can't take anything from us unless we give it to him. And all too often we give it to him because we fall schemes. Just as much as Eve was deceived, all too often, so are you and I. James 4:7 says, submit therefore to God. Don't submit to the devil, but submit to God. And it says, resist the devil, and he has to flee. Now, it doesn't say that he'll flee in 2 seconds. It doesn't say he'll flee in 2 hours, but it says, resist him. And the only way that you're going to resist him is by putting on the full armor of God, because that's our protection. Okay, that's the shield that you and I need in our life. The other piece of this is that you have to learn how to address each other. I got to tell you, I fall short in that category. But see, you and I have to learn how to address each other, and we do it in hymns and we do it in spiritual songs. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. That didn't say cursing and frustration and it said in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. You know, if your heart's right, then your life is right. If your heart's wrong, then candidly your life is wrong. But it says always again, and this is hard for me, always giving thanks for all things. I mean, I'm going through some things in my life right now that I really don't want to go, oh, thank you, Lord, I appreciate it, okay? But candidly, he didn't ask that. He said, give thanks in all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the name above all things, and we give thanks to even the Father. Now, singing and making medley to the Lord with your heart. Now, some of y'all are going to go, well, I can't sing. Okay? Gil, you might tell Dwight to bump it up a little or down or whatever the term is, because everybody's like fanning right now. You know, Arnold and I have had this discussion. He would go, okay, we're going to do it next Thursday. Well, this might be Tuesday. Well, does that mean this coming Thursday, or does that mean next Thursday? That for me, it's next Thursday. Arnold goes, no, that meant this Thursday. And we would go, if you meant this Thursday, then say we're going to meet this Thursday, not next. So, you know, it's all about candidly perception in the midst of this. But, you know, we have to sing. We have to be happy. And you know, if Satan can get us in a melancholy place, if he can get us... I think God is calling. Hold on. I'll see if I can talk to him. So, but God wants us to not only encourage each other with praise, but he also wants us to encourage ourselves with praise. You know, when you're down and out, turn on praise music. You know, we've laughed about it. I see the kids today. I couldn't do it because it would hurt my neck. But I see the kids. They've got the boom boxes up, and they're sitting in their car, and they've got the long hair, and they're going, you know? They would look at me doing it, going, he's having a seizure. You know? But whatever and however, you just need to praise the Lord in your circumstances and honestly in your situation. But here's what's so important is the devil can never grab hold of you. He can never grab hold of anything if our lives are making God the main thing. And we go astray when we make life the main thing. And you know, there's not a problem in the world that can't be solved if we make God the main thing, okay? And pride is what takes us all out of that picture. But the challenge is that we have to make and keep making God the main thing in our life. The other piece, and we've said this, always give God thanks in everything that you do. You know, when we respond to the Lord in gratitude, you and I will be able to see the world, the situations, the circumstances, the family issues, the employment issues, whatever it is. You and I will be able to see that in a different way. The Bible says, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. The Bible says, if God is for us, who in the world could ever be against us? And the Bible also says, you know, that you and I should never forget that the battle doesn't belong to you and me. Now, do we know who the battle comes from? Yes, it comes from Satan. But when you and I get in and try to solve the problem, that's where we begin to make the mess, because we have to sit back to go, wait a minute, the battle belongs to the Lord. I talked to somebody yesterday, and they said, you know, they were going through some issues, and he said, you know, I really wanted it done at this specific time, and I found out if I just give it to the Lord, he would work it out. And he did, but it was on the Lord's timing and truly not on his timing. The other piece, and this is hard, you and I have to submit to one another for one reason, out of reverence to Christ. Amen. Mutual submission is difficult, but it helps us to walk wisely in our life. And on our own, you and I can't see the truth in the midst of the circumstances and the situations, because you and I have to learn and we have to lean on the perspective of other spirit-filled believers. The Bible is very clear. Go confess your sins one to another. But I caution you, make sure that when you do that, that's a spiritual person who you could trust that would give you spiritual advice. Because the Bible is so clear that we have to lean on the perspective of others. You know, you can look at a fish bowl and you can see the fish inside. If the fish inside, all they see is the mess that's inside the fish bowl. And sometimes we have to get out of the fish bowl or have somebody get out of the fish bowl for us to go, here is what I see. You know, it's like, well, I can't get to the other side. It's just like, swim around this way. And you can, and when you're in the midst of the struggles, and challenges, that's hard. But Amos 3:3 says, do not walk together unless they have agreed to do so. So you and I can't walk hand in hand unless we walk together and agree to do so. If one wants to go left and one wants to go right, then you can't walk together in the midst of this. Now look at Romans 8:37 and 39. It says, yet amid all these things, this comes from the Amplified, but it says, we are more than conquerors, and we gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. And then it says, for I am persuaded. You know, some of it says that I am for certain. I love the word persuaded because sometimes, since we are a work in process or progress, however you want to say it, that, you know, we have to be sometimes persuaded. Lord has to take us, but we are persuaded beyond doubt that we are sure that neither death or life, nor angels or principalities, things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. You know, one of the things that I'm finding out the older I get, how insecure I really am in my life. And that's not a great place to be. But it's a reality that sometimes that we really go, you know, well, I am a little insecure because I don't want to do this, or I don't want to hurt you, or I don't want to lose them. And, you know, that's one of the things that God has revealed to me just recently. But what I need to do is to read this to, no matter where I am in my life, that I cannot be separated from the love of God. And if I please God, then I'm going to be okay. Amen. Let me read this to you. And, you know, it shows my age, and a lot of the younger people will not know, but there was a person years ago on the radio by the name of Paul Harvey. And Paul Harvey had you can see the old people going, uh-huh, yeah, I remember him, man. You know, the kids, the young kids are looking at each other going, who is that, man, I don't know, you know. But Paul Harvey had a place or a radio, and it was called Now for the Rest of the Story. So let me close with this. It says, in a gratitude and that prompted an old man to visit an old broken pier on the eastern seacoast in Florida, every Friday night until his death in 1973, he would return walking slowly, slightly stooped over, and he carried this large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would just absolutely swarm this old man, and he would feed them from his bucket. Many years before, in October of 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission flying a B-17 to deliver a very important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour which was going to hurl Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Said somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost. They lost radio contact and fuel ran dangerously low, so all the men ditched their plane in the ocean. For nearly a month, Captain Rickenbacker and his crew fought the water, the weather, and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling as giant sharks rammed their rafts, The largest raft was 9 by 5. The biggest shark was 10 foot long. But all of their enemies at sea, one proved most formidable, and that was starvation. 8 days out, their rations were long gone or destroyed by the salt water. It would take a miracle to sustain them, and a miracle occurred. Captain Eddie's own words was that a man in his group by the name of Cherry would read the service that afternoon. He said, when we finished with prayer, we prayed for deliverance and we sang a hymn of praise. There was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat. He says, with my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep out of some of the glare, I dozed off. And then he says, something landed on me. And he says, I knew it was a seagull. He says, I don't know how, I just knew. And everyone else knew, and no one said a word, but peering out from under my hat brim without moving my head, I could see the expression on their face. They were staring at that seagull, and that gull meant food, if I could catch it. Well, as they say, the rest is history. Captain Eddie caught the gull. Its flesh was eaten. It says his intestines were used for bait to catch fish. The survivors were sustained and their hopes renewed because of one lone seagull. Uncharacteristically, hundreds and hundreds of miles from land, offered itself as a sacrifice. You know that Captain Eddie made it. And now you know the rest of the story. He never forgot, because every Friday evening, about sunset, on a lonely stretch along the eastern Florida seacoast, you could see an old man walking, white-haired, bushy eyebrowed, slightly bent, his bucket filled with shrimp to feed the gulls, to remember that one which on that one day, long past, gave himself without a struggle like the manna in the wilderness so that they could survive. Amen. Here's what I want you to think about as we approach Thanksgiving. Never numb your problems. Always confront your problems. And always be thankful, no matter where we are in life, that there was one person years and years ago that went to the cross for you and me to sacrifice himself so that today we could live a thankful and grateful life. Amen.